Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16 says this, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, called to be contractors. Father, we thank you this time together this morning. I pray, Lord, that your word would speak to us. Help me to be accurate in teaching it. Lord, what you have for each one of us, Holy Spirit, help us to hear and receive that today and empower us to put it into practice. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought since we were discussing this idea of doing a construction project here at the church, hopefully next summer, that I'd talk not about building a physical building, but that we talk a little bit, as we do from time to time, about building the church, not the building again, but the body of Christ, us, and the role that we can play in that, that I believe when we're all called to contribute to the building up, the edification, depending on what translation you prefer, of the body of Christ, that we are all called to be a part of that. Now, I have no contracting skills whatsoever when it comes to physical abilities, all right? I changed the light bulb the other day, so it's like, I don't have to do much around the house to make Judy happy, man. It's like anything, a little bit of thing I can do, and she's amazed that I've... Well, because we've had a leak, we had water coming in through that, and we had the roof repaired where it was doing that, but we had water coming in through that recessed light, and so obviously I thought there was a short in the wiring of the light, but it turned out it was just the light bulb did the trick, so there you go. I can handle putting some kills and stuff up there around there too, where the water was coming through. You know, but the good thing is, when it comes to building the body of Christ, while you may not have any physical skills for building, God has gifted and called each one of us to have building skills, contractor skills, to build the body of Christ. And they're called the gifts. We were talking about these issues this morning in Sunday school about how important it is that we are the body of Christ. It was Rosie was reading something to us about all the craziness of going on. Churches are, you know, that have been meeting online for so long, and there's a lot of questions about whether, you know, where are we headed with technology when people can sit at home and they can see a church service or whatever, you know, they can watch it on TV, they can watch it on their iPad, whatever. This is the church meeting together. We need to be together. Okay, and I need all of you because you're all my body parts, all right? Put all of us together, you get what? You get one body. And so I've always thought about this. It's like, what body part would I be willing to give up? I just let you chop it off. Well, none. I need all of them. I'd be happy to have all of them. I might be able to get along, but it'd be less, you know, without a particular body part or two, but I'd be less than 100%. Why be less than what you can be? So we need everybody here. We need to be together. We are instructed to not forsake not the gathering together of ourselves. So we need to be doing this. It's not just enough to hear a sermon or to watch a church service. And so it's not only to maintaining the body of Christ, but we're called to build the body of Christ, to add to it. Add to it. I mean, how many people have said, hey, I like my home. I think I'll keep it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add on to it. I'd like more. I'd like to have some additional features to be able to provide more things that would be a blessing to me. So I'm going to build on more. We can build on more, and we're called to do that. We want to build the spiritual church, and every one of us, whether we have any building skills or not, we can be contribute to be building the body of Christ. So I want to take a look at a few things, and really this is a subject that we could spend weeks on. There's tons and tons of scripture on the body of Christ and using our gifts and the fact that we're called to build and add to it. But we're going to kind of keep it straight to the point this morning, keep it fairly simplistic. I want to go back where we opened, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, and take another look at this and then go on from there. Again, it says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Now, in verse 15, when he says we, he means we as in Christians. He's talking to fellow Christians. So we need to know that. And he says that we need to do what? That we need to, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is, you know, of the church, which is Christ. So we do this, he says, we need to speak the truth in love. If we want to do something that is meaningful, if we want to contribute to the building up, or he says, you know, in this grow, in all things grow up. If we want to do that, we can only do that as we speak the truth in love. Two components, truth and love. It doesn't do me any good to speak something that's false, right? If I tell you something that's not true and you go and you try to put it into practice, it's not going to work. So there's no benefit in saying something that isn't true. And if I don't want to hurt you, offend you, turn you off, disincentivize you, make you lose motivation or whatever, then I don't say mean, critical things. I say things that are encouraging and loving. So speak the truth in love. Those are ways that we move in the proper direction. If we want to see the body of Christ advanced, if we want to see it built up, if we want to see it added to, we're going to do that by speaking true things, but do it in a way that causes people to say, I want to be a part of that. I like that. I'm encouraged by that. I'm blessed by that. The old saying, what is it? You get more flies with honey than with vinegar. Is it vinegar? Okay, something bad, something nasty. And that's true. I mean, that should be in Proverbs or something. Solomon should have came up with that. Because it's true. We all want positivity. We all want to be encouraged. I do have quite a number of friends on Facebook, which I don't know. I never engage with them because they are always negative. It's always negative. I don't need any help. How many of you find that you can be negative pretty much on your own? You don't need any help being negative, right? I don't need anybody to help me to be find ways or reasons to be negative. So if we're going to build up, and it's ultimately in the head, you know, who is Christ, we need to speak truthful things, and we need to be loving, caring. That's the basic foundation. As a contractor, as a Christian called to build, there's our starting point. Make sure the things that we say are true, and make sure that we do it from a motivation of caring, that we actually, you know, care about and we're concerned about what we're saying, and we want to see other people benefit. That should be our basic starting point. It says in all things, in every area of life, there's no area of life that this isn't the way that we should operate. In all things, right? Speak the truth in love in all things. Well, I can do it over here, but over here, I'm not going to do that. No, in every area of our lives, we are to do this. And we grow, it says to grow up. I see this as not just simply, you know, thinking physically growing, but maturing. That we grow up, that we mature, that we become more of what it is that God wants us and what he's called us to be. I want to tie these two things together, and I know this is probably really simple. Maybe it's so obvious I don't need to say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'll speak for myself. If you want me to kind of grow up, mature, become more of what God wants me to be, will it happen because you come to me and you tell me things that aren't true and you're critical in the way that you do it? Do you think that will help me become more of what God wants me to be? Or will I stand a better chance of becoming what God wants me to be, grow up, mature, if you come to me and you tell me true things and you do it in a way that encourages me and lets me know that you really care about me? Which is more likely to produce that maturity, that growing up, to moving into being the person that God wants me to be? I think the answer is obvious. You know the answer. But let's face it, and I'm guilty of it, we all do it the wrong way sometimes. We go there and we're going to straighten them out, right? That usually doesn't go so well. So we speak the truth and love in all things so that we can grow up, so that we can become more of what God wants us to be. It says, grow into him who is the head, that is Christ. He is the head of the body. He is the one that is guiding this whole thing. We should follow his teaching. We should follow his way of doing things. It says it is only, verse 16, what I get is it's the only in Jesus. It's only from him that we're joined together as one body. If we're not in Christ, then we're not one body. He's the head, but it's in Christ that we are a whole body. I can't be a part of the body if I'm apart from the head. If I'm separated from the head, I'm not going to be a part of the body. So it's a good place to start. Start at the head. Work your way down into the body. It's from him, it says. It says that we're all joined together through these supporting ligaments. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of different ways that you could understand the supporting ligaments. What is it that holds us together? It says it's these supporting ligaments. Well, I see that as the same things that help us build up. We are told that we are given the gifts of the Spirit in order to build up the body of Christ. So I see these supporting ligaments as being us operating within our gifts, us using the gifts that God has given us so that we can do the work that God's called us to do so that the body is what? Built up, that it's held together, that it's advanced, that it's encouraged, that it's edified. So God has given me this ability to be a contractor to do my part. I don't know if, you know, there are different areas of contracting. I don't know what specific area you're gifted and called to be, how you want to draw a parallel of that, but that we should purposefully use those gifts because it is only those, as it says, we are those supporting ligaments that we grow and we build ourselves up in love as what? As each part does its work. Each one of us here is a body part, right? We are a part of the body. It only happens when what? Each part does its work. If you say that you are a part of the body of Christ, then you have work to do. Am I telling you something here that the Bible doesn't say? If we're a part of the body of Christ, then we have work to do. It only grows and it only stays together, healthy, strong, and whole as each part does its work. Now, we might find it comfortable to not work, but someone is going to suffer because of it. Because if we're held together by each person doing their work, then when we don't do our work, we do the opposite of our held together and we do what? Fall apart, come apart, disintegrate, whatever. You can decide how you want to look at that. You can look at it as being demanding and go, oh, something is being demanded of me. Or you can look at it and say, wow, God's made a place for me to do something meaningful and productive in the body of Christ, in this world, in with my friends. God has trusted me. You might be going, God trusted me? Are you kidding? But God trusted me and gifted me to make a meaningful contribution to the body of Christ. Not because I deserve it, not because I'm so wonderful, but because that's the plan that he designed of how this works. And he knows how it's going to work best. I need to move on, but so there we go. There's our basic starting point. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. There we are, doing the work again. So that the body of Christ may be what? Built up. Until we all reach unity, there we are again, being held together in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So these are not primarily thought of as these, what's listed here as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as gifts. They do certainly have gifts, spiritual gifts, but they are often taught or believed to be more like offices, positions, if you will, within the church body. So these are positions that are called to lead the body of Christ. And they are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are roles, leadership roles, offices, if you will, within the body of Christ. But what is their job? If they are positioned within the body of Christ to lead, what do these offices accomplish? It says they do what? He's appointed all these people, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. So these offices exist and they function in their capacity to do what? To organize a church service? No, it doesn't say that. To lead worship? No, it doesn't say that. To be the Sunday school director? No, it doesn't say that. To be the church secretary? No, it doesn't say that. It says that they exist. Why? To prepare God's people. Who are you? What am I? What am I? You call me, well, to my face, you call me pastor. According to this, my job, what am I in the process of doing right now? I'm preparing you to help you do works of service. Now, you might be thinking, hey, wait a minute, how come I'm the one doing the works of service? What are you doing? Hey, if you don't think preparing you to do works of service isn't work. But that's why. Why? Why? Because it goes back to what we talked about earlier. Why is he doing this? Because he wants us to what? It says grow and mature. He wants us to be unified as one body. It doesn't happen. I hear about discussion about unity in the body of Christ. Oh, we need unity in the body of Christ. Unity in the body of Christ all the time. Well, it does not happen. I mean, I do agree with that, but it doesn't happen unless we all do our part, our works of service. If we are that ligament joining and holding and supporting it and keeping it all together so that we mature and grow into the head who is Christ and from the head who is Christ. And so he's given us these people, here he lists, to help us build up. We build, we build, we build. The kingdom of God is all about building, 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 more, advancing, adding to. If we're not doing that, I mean, then we are falling short of being what God's called us to be. And we talked, as we talked about this morning, we're never going to, in Sunday school, we're never going to do everything that God wants us to perfectly. We all acknowledge that, right? But that doesn't mean that we are not trying to do more. I mean, wouldn't it be better to do, you know, even if we were only doing 70%, isn't that better than doing 40% or 50%, and if we're doing 70% now, at the end of service, we get refreshed and refocus and go, okay, we're at 70 now, let's go for 80, you know? And this is what it's about. We can't say that we are the body of Christ and that we're whole and healthy if we're not. This is what the body of Christ is all about. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. What is a commandment like, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? What is that? It's building, is it not? Is it not building? Is it not adding to? That's the basic commandment for the church. When Christ left this world, that's what we were instructed to do. And every one of us has a role as a contractor to do our part to add to it. I'm off script, so I'll just go on because I have no idea where I'm at right now on that passage. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, "So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that do what? Build up the church." Seems like we're getting on a theme here. If we're going to have spiritual gifts, we should ask for the ones that do what? Build up the church. And it doesn't just say operate in them. I want to say this. Maybe I have to say it because the conference director is here. When I read the NIV, this is the good NIV, 1984 version. This new stuff, I despise the new NIV. I loathe the new NIV, all right? Just want to be clear on that. But it says, be eager to have these spiritual gifts, to excel in them. Not just have them, but to excel in them. Why? Because it builds up the body of Christ. That's what it's all about. So, you say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, or I don't think I have spiritual gifts. Well, one, you're mistaken. I'm speaking the truth to you in love. But it says you can be eager to have spiritual gifts. Let's say, well, I don't feel like I have spiritual gifts, or I don't know what they are. Well, okay, so then just be eager to have them and ask God to have them. And if you have them, then ask for the spiritual gifts that you can excel in building up the body of Christ. Let's say you think you don't. If you went to God and sincerely said, Lord, give me a spiritual gift. Let me know what it is and how to use it so that I can build up the body of Christ. Do you think God's going to go, nah? Of course not. In fact, I think the opposite is the truth. Most of the time, God's going, I've given you spiritual gifts. How come you're not aware of them or not using them? Okay. But if we were to go sincerely, if we really believe we didn't, if we ask him because we know it's what he wants to do, and we know it's how he wants to use us, and we know it's a part of the main purpose of the church is to build the kingdom and to do that work, and you ask him to give you the gifts to do it, he'd go, no? Of course not, because he wants us to build the body of Christ. And these gifts, and I'm not, this is where I've taught weeks and weeks and weeks on this in the past, and maybe someday again, but I'm just going to touch on them just so you know. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it's not the complete gift list, but it is fairly comprehensive. It says, now to, what's it say up there on the screen? Each one. Are you a part of each one? Am I a part of each one? It doesn't say to everybody but Randy. It doesn't say to everyone but Shirley. It says to each one. And I'm guessing some of your translations would say to everyone. The manifestation of the gift is given for the common good. God will give us these, gives us these spiritual gifts, and he wants us to excel in them so that everybody does better. Not just for you, but for every. He does it because God uses you because he wants to bless other people. God gives you so that he can build up other people. I mean, yes, you're going to be blessed and you're going to be built up at the same time, but he does it for the common good. Why? The common, meaning the entire church, the entire body. He gives them so that the entire body can be built up. Why? Because we're just supposed to be a bunch of contractors. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Again, now we are, I started in verse 7, to each one. I ended in verse 11, to each one. We all have them. Why? Because we're all called to be contractors. God wants us to have and to use the gifts that he's given us to build up the body of Christ. We're going to talk over here about, you know, building a building. But we build that building so that it's another tool so that we can build the body of Christ. We don't build to build a physical structure. We build so that we have an opportunity to build the spiritual kingdom. I want us to always remember that. You know, whatever it is that we're doing, we should be doing the things that put us in a position to build lives, to build and change lives, to build the kingdom, to do God's work, to advance the kingdom of God here on earth, to help us in whatever capacity and whatever form it takes to send and be a part of going into all the world and preaching the gospel, even to the ends of the earth, amen? That's what it's about. Building something, we think that would be good, but it's only good to the extent that it puts us in a position to do the kingdom's work. We have to always remember that and keep that conscious. Why do we do these things? While that's going on, we need to be focusing on speaking the truth in love, using the gifts God has given us so that we can impact people, individuals, lives, to bless them, to change them, to give them hope and a future just like we have, to give them an eternal place with God in Christ Jesus. That's the point. If we come to that decision that we're going to build, I would say this: every time we hear a hammer, every time we hear a saw, every time we hear, some engine rev up, every time a nail is driven, we should be thinking that's done for the purpose of building the kingdom of God, for building people, not just simply a building. The building's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it as long as it's used for the proper purpose. Why? Because every one of us here is called to be a contractor. We're called to be a part of building the kingdom of God. That's what all this is about. And you know what? We live in a world that needs it. Amen. We live in a world that needs Jesus, that needs hope, that needs truth. Desperately. I'm not saying it's going to be a, walk in the park. But the opportunity is all around us. We don't have to go far. We don't have to look hard to find out people's lives that can be changed, that can be impacted, that can be blessed. If we do our part, use the gifts God's given us, if we speak the truth in love, if we just remember that we are called, every one of us, to build the kingdom of God. I thought this was going to be a short sermon. I got to skip some stuff. Apparently, I filled in more than my bullet points here. I'm going to jump ahead and close. Maybe I got two parts here. I might have to come back and preach some more of this next week because I'm jumping over a bunch. Let me close with this. Romans 14, verses 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk or a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man. Let us, therefore, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And the word edification means build up, okay? So let us, therefore, make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual building up. We are, the kingdom of God is not, it's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy, it says, in the Holy Spirit. It's not about the form and the format of what we do. It's not about eating and drinking. It's not about those ritualistic things. It's not about sometimes the practices that we have in place as a church. Ultimately, it's about righteousness, right standing with God. It's about peace. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. Because we can do this because we make every effort to do what? Those things that lead to peace. We are to make, because the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, joy, we should be doing the things that lead to righteousness, peace, and joy. When we act as contractors to build up the body of Christ, going back to the idea of being motivated by truth and love, when you're addressing something as a representative of the kingdom of God, we should not focus on you shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't do that. You should eat this, and you should observe this day, and you should abstain from that, and you should... It's the kingdom of God about what? What's it say? It's not about what? It's not about eating and drinking. So don't focus on those things. When we operate in the process of building up the kingdom of God, we should focus on things that are righteous and peace and joy, that bring those things. Do you understand my point? We can get caught up in the legalistics of the do's and the don'ts. All of us can. I know I certainly can. What God wants us to get caught up in is when I interact with other people, am I doing things that help them come to a place of righteousness in their life, righteousness with God through Christ? Am I doing things that help them to find peace in their life, in the midst of the turmoil. Folks, life is full of turmoil. Most people's life have all kinds of conflict and turmoil. Are we doing things to help them find some measure of peace in their life? Think about how much it would be a blessing to somebody who always has turmoil in their life, who simply could find some measure of peace. If you could help a person do that, they'd listen to anything you had to say if you could help them find some peace in their life and to find some joy. Why? Because we're supposed to make every effort to lead things that lead to me, peace and mutual building up. Peace and mutual building up. Now, I'm going to close in a little different way here of all this. The offices, the positions I listed, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, are given for the purpose of what? Of preparing you to do works of service, right? And so that's what I'm up here attempting to do in one little small, tiny way today. So I'll close with this passage, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. You might be hearing the first part of that. I want to focus on the very last part of it. How many likes things to their advantage? How many of you like things to their advantage? If you were in a 100-yard dash with Usain Bolt, does anybody know who Usain Bolt is? Wouldn't you like about a 90-yard head start? Some of you, Judy said she'd still lose. We like having an advantage. We like things in our favor, right? God just says in Hebrews 13:17 that if we obey the teaching that he gives us, because I may be up here saying it, but I'm just saying what his word says. He says if we do what he says, that is to our advantage. Anybody got a problem with advantage? So if God is telling us that we are all called to help build up the body of Christ, it's to our advantage to what? Be a part of building up the body of Christ. I'm all for things to my advantage. And he also uses the word in there, it's a joy. It'd be a joy to me, okay? I got no problem with that. So I just want to close again today by saying, just remember, as we think about this today, as we talk, as we vote, as we move forward, and whatever it is that we decide to do, whatever we decide to do and however we decide to do it, we are doing it for the purpose of advancing the body of Christ, for building up the body of Christ, for blessing and strengthening everyone around us so we can be as healthy and productive as we can possibly be. Amen? You're all called to be contractors.